If you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of Psalms, number 121. This is a wonderful psalm, very familiar psalm, 121. My subject tonight, well, before, let's read it together. I'll read it on the screen and you can follow along. The psalmist says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is a shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. That's Psalm 121. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity to get to share again with your people. For those of us who are here tonight, Lord, allow us to receive from you what you want us to hear. There's someone here, Lord, tonight that especially needs this. I pray for them now that your word, Lord, would be a comfort, a consolation, a strength, a source of encouragement in their life. We ask it humbly in Christ's name. Amen. My subject tonight from this text is help. Help. Have you ever just felt like crying, help? Because you were without a strength, or you were without direction. You didn't know which way to turn, where to go, what to do. You needed help. Help is the cry of a mother with four children, three dogs, two cats, and a parrot week after week at home while the husband is away in Hawaii on a business trip. That's borrowed there. Someone said that. Someone said help is the cry of a college student who sits down to his final exam only discovered that he studied the wrong chapters. Someone else said help is the cry of a man sitting at a table surrounded by a stack of unpaid bills with hungry children and an empty bank account with no job in sight. Someone else said help is the cry of a teenage boy whose self-esteem is found in a drug-induced stupor and whose best friends are a hypodermic needle and strong nostrils. People all over the world hurting, desperate, needing help. Have you ever been in a position where you just didn't know where to go, who to ask, what to say, or how to say it, but you needed help? Help that was beyond the ability of your closest friend. You needed something else. In Psalm 121, the psalmist, and I'm not sure who the psalmist is. I read this week several possibilities. Some want to attribute it to David, others to King Hezekiah. But it's not important who the psalmist was, but we're told that it is a traveler's song. In other words, they would sing this, the people would sing it as they were ascending toward Jerusalem for a particular feast. And as they would walk toward or on the path, as they would make their way toward the Mount Zion, it was a very popular song as they would sing, from whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord that made heaven and the earth. And they would receive a great deal of strength, remembering that God was their helper. Now, there are three ways tonight, or three lessons I think we can learn from this text that can be a blessing to us as we examine it. How is it that God is our helper? First of all, he's our helper in that he's our provider. The Lord provides for us. He gives us what we need, all that we need. Where he guides, as someone said, he provides. You know, the psalmist did what we often do. He looked around for help, And initially, he looks in the wrong place. He looks toward the hills. Well, they don't come from there. Sometimes we look in places we should not look for the help that we need. We talk to people that we should not talk to for the help that we need. We ask everybody but the right person to help us in our time of need. The Bible teaches that God is the provider for us, and He helps us, and He promises that He will help us. The Living Bible translates verse 1 and 2 this way. Shall I look to the mountain gods for help? No. My help is from Jehovah, who made the mountains and the heavens too. Now, as they're traveling there, if you've been in Israel, you know this. It is surrounded by hills. They're everywhere. And it was believed for many years that these hills represented a great fortress for Israel to protect them from the enemy that surrounded Jerusalem. And so they often believed that the hills were created there in such a way as to protect them. They saw it as a defense mechanism. But the hills also were inhabited by the high places, it's called. A lot of pagan worship went on in the hills. People calling on other gods and all sorts of witchcraft and all kinds of things that took place in the hills that were certainly not God. And so whether he's saying, shall I look for this to be my defense in times of emergencies, or should I think about those gods in those hills to help me when I'm in trouble? Whichever it was, the psalmist knew that the mountains, there was something greater than the mountains. There was something more than the hills that could help us. And that help was, of course, God himself. He said, why would I look to the hills when I could look to the one that made the hills? The one that made heaven and earth, that's my helper. It's not just the hills. You know, in our country, we have, I heard someone on the news this week boasting about our great military. And it is a great military, don't misunderstand. It's a wonderful military. And we have a very sophisticated system, and the technology is second to none. And we're proud of that, and we're thankful for that. But we also learned just how easy it is to have breakdowns. I mean, our former president was almost assassinated a couple of weeks ago. We have Secret Service surrounding him, and we have all of this sophisticated intelligence going on. And a 20-year-old gets up on top of a roof and fires at the former president. I remember years ago when I heard Dick Cheney talking about our intelligence, America's intelligence. He talked about how sophisticated it was. He said, second to none. He said, unless perhaps Israel. And when I was in Israel, they talk about their intelligence. They have tremendous intelligence. And so they know what's going on, and they're a great ally, and you know about that. But yet, here is Hamas on, what was it, the 13th? Was it 13th of October? Or I'm sorry? The 7th. Where they bombed and killed a lot of innocent civilians. That's got past their security is what I'm trying to say. This 20-year-old kid got past our security. So we don't want to live like this. Well, we know we're secure because we have great intelligence and we have great military and we have this, because we see that those things are fallible. And so in some sense, if we just put our trust and our help in those types of things, we're extremely more vulnerable than we might realize. And so the psalmist says here, my help is not from those kind of things. My help comes from the God that made everything. Okay? And then Jeremiah 2 and 23, he says, truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of mountains. Truly in the Lord is the salvation of Israel. It's not in the fortresses that surround us or these type things. Our help comes from God. Now, this is not just a promise to Israel. This is what's exciting. Hebrews 13 says this. We may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. And so when you talk about needing help, the Bible assures you that God is your helper. He is a person always willing to come to your aid, to strengthen, to guide, to protect. The word helper actually comes from a word succor. You know, he's able to succor them that are tempted, the Bible said. That comes from a word that is like an ambulance. They come when they're called for. And that's what God does when we're in need. He comes when called for, and he assists and aids, and he strengthens us. Now, what does he provide to us? Well, he provides security. First of all, his provisions promises security. If God is my provider, he gives me the security that I need. Verse 2, he says again, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. I don't have the ability to expound that like I wished I could. I was reading different things about the power of God this week and what he's done in creation. Do you know that just a single lightning bolt, if you could harness the energy from a single bolt of lightning, you could provide power to 30 million homes in America. That's how much power there is in a single bolt of lightning. And there are thousands of bolts of lightning that flash all over the world every hour somewhere in the world. That's just a lightning bolt. God made the heaven and he made the earth. He made everything in it. And so that's how much power he has. That's how much strength he has. He's formed all things. Proverbs 26:10 says this. He is the great God who formed all things. So the one who is our helper is the one who has made everything, who has created the heavens and the earth. So whatever problem you have and I have is not outside of his wheelhouse. He is capable and he is able. Jeremiah 32:17. Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you. And so when you say God provides for us, he provides security. He has said that it is his strength and his wisdom that has the ability to help us. And so you're never without help, without aid. It's available. The second thing, he provides stability. His provision, the fact that he's my provider, he promises to give me security and stability. Look what he says in verse 3. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He's not going to let you slip. You know, he's not going to let you fall so far that you're out of his reach for certain. He has the ability to keep you strong, to keep you stable. Now, sometimes you bury a heavy load. And some of you here tonight, I know, are carrying heavy loads. And I understand what it means to carry a heavy load. But he's my provider, and he can give me security, and he can give me stability. He can help me, enable me to continue to stand by the grace of God. Proverbs 3, 25 and 26. Don't be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence, and he will keep your foot from being caught. He's not going to let you get tripped up when you're walking with God. And so God is able to keep you stable. He's able to keep you secure. He's able to provide serenity. You know, that's what we need sometimes when we're just completely out of gas. You ever been there before? I remember several years ago, I was in Columbiana. I had done a a counseling session early that morning. Then I had to go to Columbiana to assist someone that was in a whole lot of trouble. And then later that afternoon, I had a funeral. And several of the things that I was being pulled in several directions, and it was a tremendous load. And I honestly just I felt like if anything else comes my way, I don't know if I can stand this. And so what happened was, when I left the courthouse in Columbiana, I found a little park there and I sat under a shade. And I just began to talk to the Lord, just tell him about everything that I was feeling. And I told him how badly I needed his help. I said, I can't stand under this much longer. I can't hold it together. I can't keep getting up in front of people and with kind of demeanor that where you've got it all figured out, or you got it, God's in control. And I know that, but it was all coming apart on the inside. And so I had the Lord's peace as I began to talk to him and pray. And this is the verse right here in verse 21. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel neither slumber nor sleep. It's like, Frank, I see everything. I haven't been napping while all this has been going on in your life. I'm watching, I'm observing, and I'm your helper. I can help you. I heard about a man who had a picture that hung in his house. True story. And it's one of those pictures that it was a picture of the Lord, or supposedly our Lord. But the eyes moved. There were motion sensors in it. And when you walk this way, the eyes move this way. You walk this way, the eyes move this way. And he had a neighbor who was very cynical. He was at least an agnostic, if not an atheist. But he had tried to witness to him before, and he said to him, he said, won't you come by in the house and let's have lunch together? And so he came over and he sat there and he walks in, and there's that picture of Christ, and he kind of follows him across the room. He gets up to go back in the living room, he follows him this way. And finally the guy speaks up and he says, hey, look now, does that not make you uncomfortable? He said, every time you move in this house, it's like Jesus is watching you. Everywhere you go, no matter what you do. And he said, oh, that just reminds me every day how much he loves me. He can't take his eyes off of me. And that's the thing we need to understand. That's what keeps us sane, to know that he's not sleeping or slumbering. There's never any panic in heaven, always plans. All things work together for the good to them that love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And he's not sleeping on you. He's not napping while you're having problems. He is your provider. And he can provide security for you and strength for you and serenity for you. He that keeps Israel, he that guards Israel, doesn't slumber or sleep. Psalm 4 verse 8 says this, I will both lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. That's trust. So how does the Lord help us? Well, he provides everything you need, takes care of you. Now, the second thing the psalmist brings to our mind in verse 121, or chapter 121, he's our protector. He's not just a provider. Our Lord protects us. He says in verse number 5, you're my keeper. That means you're my guardian. God is guarding his children. That's right. Nothing comes into your life that God doesn't allow. Did you hear me? He has to at least allow it. You know, it didn't come. He didn't sneak up on you. And I mean, God's never spooked or anything. He's guarding you, and he lets some things come into your life. No question about that. I mentioned the attempted assassination. Former President Trump some weeks ago. And regardless of what you think about him, and I'm not here to do a campaign for anyone except Jesus. But several people had said to him, you know, this is God. God protected you. He watched over you. It was his will. It wasn't his will for this to happen, and this is by the grace of God. And so I would listen to him, and he would say things like, some say it's the grace of God. Some say God was doing it. You know, he'd say, you know, I was lucky. And then he said, but some say it was God. And he said, maybe it was. And I thought to myself, it most certainly was. Now, how do you know that, Frank? Well, it wasn't his time to go yet. One day, it will be his time to go, and he'll leave, just like it, Frank or anyone else. I remember Donald Gray Barnhouse, that wonderful Presbyterian preacher of many years ago. I used to listen to him when I'd work late. As just a teenage boy, I worked at this little convenience store. And I'd turn him on. He came on late on the radio. And he talked about being in the war, and he would fly. Well, he used to fly these fighter jets into combat areas. And his partner, his co-pilot, was with him. He would always notice that Dr. Barnhouse always kept his cool and stayed sane and was just kept it together in the most critical times. So finally, he asked him one time, he says, listen, Donald, how is it that you don't seem shaken by any of this? He said, well, this is the way I feel about it. No bullet can kill me, no plane can spill me until God's finished with me. He knew that God was his keeper. I tell Cinda this all the time when we're driving. I said, no car is going to spill us. No disease is going to kill us until God is through with us. Billy, I was thinking about the time you and Jan and Cinda and I, we went somewhere to Birmingham together and went to eat or whatever. And I was driving. Billy and Cinda, believe it or not, they get real nervous. I think Billy drove home to keep everybody calm. But I appreciated what Jan said. You might remember. She said, I like it when Frank drives. Said, it's full of adventure and excitement. I said, all right. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. See, Jan and I knew the Lord was our keeper. I'm cutting up, of course. But he really is our keeper. He is the guardian of our life. He says it this way in verse 5. He says he's our shield. Did you see that? He is our shield. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is a shade on your right hand. Well, first of all, I got ahead of myself. He's a shade. He guards us with a shade on our right hand. Think about that. Now, the shield, which I'll mention in a moment, but they would hold that in the left hand, a right-handed man would, and the sword would be in his right hand. Now, he's protected on his left side because he's got a shield. He's actually, even though he has a sword, he's actually more vulnerable on his right side because he's protected over here. And he says, that's all right. I'll be on your right side. I will stand where you are most vulnerable in your life. You know, every one of us are vulnerable in some areas of life. If you don't know that, you will eventually. Because if any man thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. And so he's going to be a shade on the right and a shield on the left. And there's the shield in Psalm 84, verse 11. Next screen. He says he is, our God is, he is a shield to all who trust him. And so he's got a shade and a shield protecting us, watching over us. Thank God. Psalm 18, verse 30. He's a shield. The Lord is the keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. I'm sorry I've got my verses a little bit crossed here, but you're getting the message. He's our shade. Psalm 121, verse 5 and 6. The sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. You see, life is seasonal. Think about it. You know, the older I get, I understand that better than ever about the seasons of life. You know, when you're young, you feel bulletproof. You feel invincible. You can do anything. But you get a little older, you start recognizing your limitations a little bit more. And so you understand that just like the earth has its seasons, springtime, summertime, winter, fall, we go through some springtimes and some summertimes and some wintertimes and some falls. It's not always amen and hallelujah. Sometimes it's difficult. It reminds me of that old song that used to come on the radio. Lester Roloff was a wonderful Christian, wonderful missionary to so many young people. And he would come on the air. He was kind of an old-time preacher. Nothing wrong with that. But he had some extreme views, and I understand that. But he had a really extreme ministry, too, where he worked with many young people that had been caught up in drugs and alcohol and different things. And so I think his extremities had their, he could easily validate some of those things. But he was a straight shooter. He went to jail several times for his ministry. He would not get licensed to have his boys home. He used to believe the power to license is the power to control, and he didn't want the state involved. Didn't take any money from them. And so it was a big battle. And but he really, though he was a tough man, he was a tender man. He came on and he'd sing that song, you know. He says, you know, in shady green pastures, so gentle and sweet. You know how it goes. In shady green pastures, so gentle and sweet, God leads his dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, some through great song. In the night seasons and all the day long, God leads his dear children along. Shield over here, shade over there. And he's always watching us. Nothing's touching our life that he's not saying, okay. And he's always ready to intervene when we call upon him. David said, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. What a God we serve. Psalm 121, verse 6. Now that was it just then. The Lord preserves us. I'll pick up the pace here. The Lord not only protects us, provides for us, but he preserves us. Notice the text, next screen. He preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time and forevermore. You know, one of the great things he preserves our life, but he preserves us, thank God, our salvation. You know, we are preserved. You know something I learned about preserve years ago? And some of you ladies you can tell me about this, but I've heard people tell me that, you know, put up preserves, they do canning and things. If you're going to put a quart of this, you put a quart, you match it with the sugar, whatever you're preserving is what I'm told. And then, of course, it's sealed real tight. And then over time, the thing is kept where it's preserved, but it gets actually a little sweeter over time, if anything. It doesn't get rotten, it gets sweeter over time. That's the way a believer is. We are preserved in Christ. And every true believer gets a little sweeter over time. God preserves our life. He preserves us, here he says, from all evil. That doesn't mean that we don't have difficulties and trials in our life, but none of these things can destroy us because God is in control. All evil. And then finally, he preserves us for all eternity. Psalm 121, 7b, he shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time and forevermore. He's going to preserve your soul. When I was just a teenager and I needed a place to stay, I've told you the story. I'll just get right to the heart of it. A little Nazarene lady had a little garage apartment off of her house, and she rented it out to me on a weekly basis. She was a precious soul. She loved the Lord very, very much. And but you know, obviously, she and I had some differences doctrinally. You know, she couldn't understand the security of the believer. She like most of the Nazarene people of that denomination I'm talking about, they believe you can lose your salvation. Of course, we know better. But she was a sweetheart. Every time I called her on the house, she said, she'd answer the phone, you know, "This Miss Dunn, I'm fine by the help of the Lord. How are you?" Every time she said, "I'm fine by the help of the Lord," that's the way she answered the phone. And I remember one time I was needing a car, and I said, "Boy, I want to get a car like that." Or some way I said it, she didn't like, no, Frank, you don't want that car. You want a car like that car. That's coveting. She just little things. She, you know, always talking to me about, trying to keep me straight. She would allow Cinda to come and visit me, but one time a young girl from work, I was working at the Waffle House, she came and she looked out the door. She saw this girl, and it wasn't Cinda. And I'm in there asleep, you know, and I hear this voice, and Miss Dunn is running her off. She says, "What are you doing here?" She says, "You're not Cinda." And Cinda and I, you know, as teenagers do, went through a little breakup, you know, so she found out where I live. She came by, she ran off, and we got the biggest kick out of that. And Cinda just loved Miss Dunn. But we were sitting there one day, and we got to talking about the security of the believer. And that passage in, I believe it's the book of Jude, where it says, you know, we're preserved in Christ or kept in Christ. And I said to her, you know, "Miss Dunn, here's the thing," you know, and she said, "It's like this jelly, Frank." She had a jar of jelly. Every once in a while she'll call and say, "Frank, come have a piece of toast with me and let's have coffee before you leave." And so I'd go in there and sit and talk with her. And we were having this little discussion. I was always careful with her because I respect her and loved her. And she says, "Miss Dunn, I just don't buy this losing your salvation stuff." She said, and she held up the jar of jelly. She said, "Well, it's like this jar of jelly. See, it was preserved. But once I broke the seal, now it's not preserved anymore. And it can get stale," or whatever words she used, I don't remember. And so I looked at it for a minute. I said, "But Miss Dunn, let me ask you something. Now, you broke the seal, right?" I said, "But what if you was the jelly?" He said, "What?" I said, "If you were the jelly inside this jar," and I'm only like 17, 18 years old, this is just a kid talking. I said, "But if you're the jelly inside that jar, you wouldn't be able to break that seal." She looked at it. I said, "You see, Miss Dunn, I'm the jelly. I'm what's preserved. And the Holy Spirit is the seal. And it's unbroken. He preserves my soul, my going out and coming in from this time forth, even forevermore." So, you that are needing help in your marriage, on your job, with your health, relationships with your children, whatever. Those of us needing help, guess what? We have someone, not the hills, not the secure, not the things that we see around us, but we've got the one who made heaven and earth that provides our help. And in every way. And he's there to provide, he's there to protect, and he's there to preserve. He is our helper. And I won't elaborate, but you know, when Paul gets over there in the New Testament, I'll tell you another thing God uses to help us is people. You remember he said in, was it Romans, as he's closing that chapter? He says, "Greet Aquila and Priscilla, because they sure did help me. They assisted me. They came to my aid. They helped me. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus."
Well, I thank God for my helpers in Christ Jesus. And this church has plenty of them. God bless you. And then Paul talked about in Corinthians. Do I have that text? I can't remember. Watch this. Paul says he wrote to them so he could be a helper. Moreover, I call upon God. I call God for a record upon my soul that to spare you, I came not as yet unto Corinth. Not for that we have dominion over your faith, but we're helpers of your joy. For by faith you stand. And that's what I was hoping to do tonight, is be a helper of your joy. By helping you to turn your attention from your problems and to the God where nothing is too hard for him. If you need help, you have a helper. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you that you are the lifter up of our heads. You are the true helper of our joy. As Nahum said, the Lord is a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who trust in him. You provide for us. You protect us. You preserve us. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. And to have so much of your love and affection towards us, Lord, is something that's too wonderful for us to understand. Thank you for the people that you put in our lives that help us. Thank you for the family of God, for your church. Bless each person here tonight. Minister to each heart. Strengthen each life, I pray humbly in Christ's name. Amen.